good morning, everybody. This time of year, the holiday season, which of course gives way, as we've already made the announcement of the New Year, you know, New Year's Eve, it's upon us once again, another year gone. You know, maybe normally I would do a lesson like I'm going to share a few things, would normally be a message for right on the New Year time frame. But I don't know about you guys, but I know that it seems like it's been a busy year for me, and it went fast. I don't know where the time went. You know, I got my own things that I do here and abroad, you know, you don't know the future. You don't know in the beginning of the year if you're going to be around by the time the year ends. And well, lo and behold, you know, here we are. But some have gone the way of all the earth, people that we've known. It's kind of a normal, natural thing to go the way of all the earth. You know, the reason why we get together, the reason why we're Christians is because of the hope of the resurrection. I mean, if you boil it right down fundamentally, Old Testament, New Testament, the hope of Israel was resurrection from the dead. Paul said, that's why I'm in so much trouble, was because of preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. It was the hope of Israel, except for Sadducees. No wonder they're sad, you see, because it just shows you the idiocy today. I mean, where in the world did any Jewish person get the idea that there is one, no resurrection, no spirits or angels? I mean, didn't they read their scripture at all? The Old Testament is full of those things. One, you have a huge resurrection of a whole army in Ezekiel 37. Or they think that's a big lie or something? You know, so the idea of resurrection, but gee whiz, spirits and angels? Come on. Oh, well, but how many people do we have today that profess to be Christian that don't believe nothing in the Bible? They don't believe that Jesus actually died on the cross. He only swooned, whatever that means. You know, he was in some kind of coma or something. They come crawling out of the tomb 3 days later. Get me to the hospital, man. I'm hurt. You know. Get me a gun. They don't believe that dumb fish story. They don't believe that dumb ark story. Then why do they even bother? Easy. But I digress. We believe, and that's why we're here. And our hope is in the resurrection. Now, we know that going the way of all the earth is a reality, but as Paul said, you know, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, a desire to depart, to be with the Lord, which is far better, or possibly to continue on in the flesh will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I choose I cannot tell. He was hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart, be with Christ, as I mentioned, is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Looking forward to dying. You know, the Bible tells us that with human beings, we have a fear of death which messes with our minds all our lives. People scared of dying. I'm just turning real quick here to Hebrews 2 and 14. As much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that's the devil, and release those whose fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Subject to bondage. You know, people do weird things because they're scared of dying. It affects the way they think. Whether they do it consciously or unconsciously, it affects us having this thing hanging over our head, the death of our bodies. But yeah, we could look at Joshua, who on the day that he died said, this day I go the way of all the earth. And also King David, which you may turn there in just a second because that shows how old he was. He said the same thing. This day I go the way of all the earth. They're about 500 years apart, those two guys. But both great men of faith and absolutely had no angst about dying because it was simply the way of all the earth. But the thing is Jesus said, don't fear them to kill your body. After that, they have nothing they can do. But I forewarn you, he said, whom you shall fear, fear him after power. After he hath killed, hath power to destroy body and soul in hell. He said, they need to be afraid of that. So when they told Jesus about how Pilate had killed some of the Galileans in Luke 13, mingled the blood, their blood in their own sacrifices, and they're freaked out about that. He said, well, what do you think? Well, do you think they were sinners, these Galileans above all others, because they suffered these things? He said, I tell you, no. But he said, if you repent, you all likewise perish. Or he said, what about the tower in Siloam that fell, killed those 18 guys? Do you think these were sinners above all that dwell in Judea because they suffered these things? I tell you, no. But except you repent. So dying, that day will come. We're not to fret about those things if you are in Christ, because it doesn't matter how we go, natural causes or accidents or whatever, it doesn't matter, as Jesus said. The only thing we have to be concerned about is the state that we're in when we die. Now, I started out by talking about my own situation, my own life. I look back, the time has gone by so fast. I feel like I've been busy about a whole bunch of things. I'm already making plans for the upcoming 2020. However, which brings me to what I want to talk about this morning, I find recently, maybe even in the last year or so, I'm not looking way down the road. I don't know why. It used to be, I know before, maybe when I was in my 40s or in my 50s, I just kept thinking, yeah, I got to do this, got to do that. Yeah, you know, you're going to die. You know, we're Christians. We believe that. It's back here somewhere. But with all the various things I've been involved in and various activities, ministries, or whatever, I would always be thinking about, you know, where we're going with this, what we need to do. But I don't think like that anymore. I'm starting to realize, biblically, and you can turn your scriptures if you want to Psalms 90, written by Moses, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The days of our years, 70 years, 70 years. If we're strong, maybe 80. We're still going to go the way of all the earth. So teach us to number our days. And maybe that's what I feel like I'm doing now. I'm realizing, you know, I was telling Sue, you know how because computers nowadays, you know what a progress bar is. You know, every time you're trying to upload or download something, this boop, this bar pops up, and it's clear, you know, and then this green stuff starts moving across. And you're sitting there waiting for this thing, watching the progress bar slowly turn. And maybe it even gives you a percentage, you know, 50%, you know, 5 minutes remaining. It's a countdown, a progress bar that you can sit there and watch. And all of a sudden, I thought about my own life kind of with a progress bar, and I realized, you know, I'm 67 and a half, so I got 2.5 years before 70. If that was a progress bar I was looking at, and if I was going to get a biblical 70, all of it's green except that little bit at the end. Well, that's a visual.
And it goes,
yeah, at the last minute, so they better be ready. Because I said this last year, went fast. I don't even know where it went. You know, if I referred to something 2.5 years ago, that'd be like yesterday. Well, technically, that's all I have left on the progress bar biblically, I will have a 70. And I, like probably most of you, I noticed I was getting older. I saw it in the mirror. You know, the funny thing is, I don't feel old, and I've heard some of you say the same thing. I guess I don't feel any different than when I was in my 20s in my head, but when I look and I see myself, or if I hear one of Olga's orphans referred to me as that old guy, and I'm thinking, I am the old guy now. You know, he said, so teach us to number our days. Okay, so if we're going to have God teach us to number our days, what would that look like? Well, it's interesting to note in Genesis 1 and 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And he's talking about the sun and the moon. So we got these celestial bodies up there, purposely created. They're kind of cool to look at, but that's how we mark time. By seasons, here we go, we gotta, you know, I'm sure he's talking about growing seasons, but hey, this is a season, right? This is the season to be jolly, ha ha, you know. It's not like this all the time, but here it is again. It showed up again. The new year comes in. And people are very conscious and very aware of the new year. It's the biggest holiday of the year in Vietnam is the Tet. The Lunar New Year. It's not like the calendar New Year. It's going to be like January 20th or something this year. It's a big deal for them. So people do it. Other cultures, the point is. It's not just us. Humans do that. So we have various means that God has given us. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I kind of mentioned, you know, about my own self. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going through various trials. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though, 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is only for a moment, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are only temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. We're made for this, to be able to look at stuff with our eyeballs, physical, and take note. But we're able to process even more information what is visibly, physically seen. Because we have the ability to see the unseen. And that's what we develop and foster as Christians. And that's what we should do. God can teach us to number our days, because while we realize we're in a physical world that's breaking down fast, even by our own selves, God also invented mirrors and God invented cell phones that can take pictures. It's so funny to see, if you got albums at home, I used to have brown hair. I thought I still had brown hair. When I was filling out an application, and Sue looks at that and goes, your hair ain't brown. What? I wasn't thinking. I was just seeing how I saw myself from the inside. I knew I used to have brown hair. So I had to change the application, and I put gray. She says, not even gray, it's white. She, this is the woman God gave me. So, we got all these indicators. We are without excuse. It's like you picture the sand going through the hourglass. I don't know how many grains I got left. Like I said, I mean, this baby's almost completely changed over. That's an eye-opener for me when I actually think about my life on a progress bar, that technically, even though I don't necessarily feel that way, that is biblical, that is reality. You know, if it wasn't for the medical stuff we have in our country, the heart disease that I have would have killed me, you know, a little over 10 years ago, because it took out my sister and one of my half-brothers. because they didn't go and go to the hospital. They didn't pay attention to the signs and symptoms of the coronary artery disease. And so Chris, on her way into a party store to get some more beer, died in the car in the Detroit area, one of those party stores with bars all over the windows. And Jim died in bed. The other two half-brothers, we have the same dad, that's where we're getting it from. They had open heart at 55, and they lived another 20 years. Well, I had the same problem at exactly the same age, would have killed my sister. 55, I went in for the bypass because I felt the signs and symptoms, and they treated it. So I never had a heart attack or anything. But the thing is, the body is frail that way. And by the grace of God, and for the medical science and the fact that it was available for me, I was able to go. But you know what? It says Elisha died from the disease he was afflicted with. King David, he was so feeble in his later years. And I mentioned him, so we'll go there. I'm going to 1 Kings. That they had to take a young maiden, and basically they didn't have electric blankets, and put her in the bed with him just to keep him warm. He couldn't even generate his own body heat. So in 1 Kings 2:2, David said, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong. He's talking to Solomon, his son. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Giving his son some parting words. Now, if you look at verse 10, it says, so David rested with his fathers, was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Now, I didn't give you this one, but you can grab it real quick. If you go, I'm going to 2 Samuel chapter 5, it actually says he started all that reign at 30 years old. So that's how you do the math on it. In 2 Samuel 5, and I'm looking at verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. In Hebron, as we just read, he reigned in Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So, anyway, he was 30 when he began to reign, reigned 40 years, do the math, 70 years. I mean, okay, that's not like ancient or something, but it fits Psalms 90, days of man's years, 70. And you know what? If you're strong, you can get that 80, good for you, but you know what? As far as I'm concerned, my opinion, when I look at my in-laws, you can have that 90-year-old stuff. You are done. You know what I mean? If you're just there sitting and sucking air, man, I mean, and watching TV, that's no life as far as I'm concerned. But if you're scared of dying, I guess that's quality of life for you. But it wouldn't be for me. I got to be going or doing something. You know, I wonder sometimes if that isn't part of the way God teaches us to number our days. You're so busy about so much, and you're here, there, and everywhere. Finally, he's got to, pull the wheels off your chariot. He's got to slow you down. He makes you sit there. Now, unfortunately, then somebody invented a TV set to give you more distractions. Why? When you really need to be sitting there and numbering your days, applying your hearts to wisdom, because that's what it's all about, because our lives do end. They do end. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. The Bible says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. That is just another fact. And you know what? We should be glad this life ends down here. This place, this is a tough place to be. Life on this earth is tough. And you know what Jesus said, when he said the time has come that he was going to be crucified? He actually said in John chapter 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That's John 12:23. Most assuredly, he said, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die, it remain alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now he who loves his life is going to lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for life eternal. I don't know about you. I don't like this place. And if we're only going to get older anyway, why not leave? But you know what? We don't have to be afraid of dying. You know, we feel stresses all the time because of unknowns every day. The phone rings, this going on. Gee whiz, you don't know if your car going to break down, going down the road, get a flat tire. You have no idea what's going to happen. That stresses us out. But you know what? God is good. Thanks, bro. The worst thing that could happen to you, most people, they think is dying. But that's the one thing God guarantees you. You are going to die, fool. Be ready. Gee whiz, that shouldn't be a surprise to you. You are going to die. He did tell you that. Then he even tells you what happens when you die. You go before the judgment seat of Christ to receive. What? Now, that can be a good thing. Don't misunderstand. Don't automatically think that's a bad thing. You do want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, that's good news. Why not? We've just read where Paul said for him, that's what he was looking for. He said to die and to be with Christ is far better. And he was like, decision. He was a straight between two. You know, either to die and be with the Lord, he said, which is far better, or to remain here on the earth for the sake of the early church. And he thought that's probably more needful. But he's still dead. He dead now. Been dead. For 2,000 years. So God does tell us, yes, that's going to happen. So what are you stressing out for? And then he tells you what's going to happen when you die. And then he gives you all the answers to the test. You know, you're going to be graded. And he gives you a whole copy, you know, the teacher's version, you know, with all the answers in it. How can you go wrong? How can we fail? You can't. And he said, look, I'll help you out. I'll kill my son for you, you know, just to make sure we got all your sins covered. We can do that. I'll kill my son. And then I'm actually going to send him back to dwell in your heart, to strengthen your inner man, so that you can overcome the deeds of your body, that you can have quality of life. You don't have to walk in the flesh no more. You can walk in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, the Son, my Son in your life, will manifest with love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and patience and kindness. And, you know, the quality of life is going to go off the scale. I'll fill you with all joy and peace in believing you and bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What? Well, who could find fault with that? Look what God is doing. We have it all. So how can we be stressed about stuff that will never matter in eternity? How many things that you were stressing out about 10 years ago came to be a reality? You probably don't even remember what you were stressing out about 10 years ago. I can't remember. You know, I've had a lot of travel hassles, and there's always a certain amount of angst about, you know, going through all that. But, you know, if you asked me to run a list of all the travel hassles I had, I wouldn't even remember what they were. I don't know. But you know what? I can remember a lot of the good things that we accomplished in the various things that we were doing. Praise the Lord for that. So I can remember the good. I don't even remember the bad. So we are to number our days. God will help us so that we can incline our hearts to wisdom. Being born again, which is absolutely required, is just the beginning of the preparation for the unseen things, which are far greater. It's the preparation for us. Now, we have free will, and that what opposes us here is intelligent evil. Okay, and plus it's our old man. You know, Rick was sharing the other night. We've talked about it before. I shared some things over there in the first hour. My opinion, when you really look closely at the Genesis 25 account, when Rebecca was pregnant, and she was having a struggle, you know, these two guys fighting in her womb, you know, God, you know, she went to God, she asked God, what's happening to me, if everything's okay? See, you got two peoples in there. Two people there, one is stronger than the other. There's a struggle between them. The older will serve the younger. Now, when you unpackage all that, because you see it mentioned again, you know, Esau I've hated, Jacob I've loved. You see that in the first book of Malachi. Then you see it mentioned again in Romans chapter 9 that God speaks of this, all his, you know, all his works, all his eternal purpose that he's been working. I mean, it's, the Bible is loaded with all kinds of things to help us understand spiritual things. So in Romans chapter 9, speaking of Rebekah, verse 10, Romans 9 and 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah is conceived by one man, even our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, speaking of Jacob and Esau, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I've hated. What that shall we say is any righteous unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Certainly not. God don't just hate little kids that haven't been born yet in the womb. He's talking about a new man and an old man. He's talking about all of us. Galatians 5 tells us, this I say, Paul said, verse 16, if we walk in the Spirit, he said, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He says what? Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. He said, these two are contrary one to another, so you do not do the things that you wish. This dual nature. Don't forget, Jacob had a hold of Esau's foot. They're connected. Who's the older? Esau. Who's the younger? Jacob. I mean, born basically at the same time, but still. And what was it about Esau that we see when we go back and read 25? He despised his birthright. Our old man is that way. Our old man despises our birthright because you just see it in God's people, whether it's Christians or Jews. That's the way people are. Even the people that have this unbelievable birthright to be born of God, to be called the children of God, to be joint heirs with Christ. Talk about a birthright. And we snuff at it. People despise it. You see, we have a new man that has to overcome the old man according to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said, if you've heard Jesus and you've been taught by Jesus, Christian, you got to put off concerning your former conduct your old man who grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind in order to put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's all of us got to go through that process here. We have a dual nature, a natural man, a spiritual man. Paul makes it clear, the spiritual don't come first, but the natural comes first, which would make sense. We're natural people first. We're on our way to a spiritual, eternal life, so it makes sense that you would morph from the natural to the spiritual. But that transition is difficult. It's agony. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and let's go. You seek to save your life as you know it, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to give up your life for my sake in the gospel, you save your life. What does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? This is serious business. The stakes are high. And you know what? If you're hearing in the sound of my voice, this is it, man. There's only one way out of this life, and that's by dying. That day will come. He told us that. It might feel like we're going to keep living on forever. He said some people think they are. I think my father-in-law thinks he's going to live forever down here. But you shouldn't even want to live here forever. But the only way out of this world is by dying. And we have no say in that. The only thing is, like we well brought out, I think Jesus makes it very clear. We need to focus on what condition are we in with God when we die. Don't worry about how it happens. That has got nothing to do with it. It's just going to happen, naturally or accidentally, but it's going to happen. The only question is then what? Well, we know judgment. That's said too. There's no mystery there. That's what happens next. And what's the criteria for the judgment? What the deed's done in your body, the books are open. The dead are judged out of those things written in the book according to their works. That's fair too, by the way. That's fair. And we know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, God took care of that too. That's what I said. He had to kill his son to make sure that we could start all over and this time do it right. So we could live forever. That our hope is in the resurrection. But man, if we're not paying attention to our hope and those things, if we're like Esau, and all we're caring about is, man, give me some of that. Give me some of this. Say, man, we got some more important things. We got folks that, well, I ain't got time for that right now because, man, I'm busy. You know, I ain't got time. You know, I got this to do. I got that to do. And if we're not preparing ourselves, see, our new man will never overcome our old man. And that's what you actually see in the scripture. If you step back and take a close look at it, you read the way the book ends. You read what the Spirit is saying, or the Lord is saying to the seven churches in Asia Minor. He don't have much good to say to five out of the seven. Why? Because they were carnal-minded. That's Esau. That's the old man. Their old man was winning. You know, it's interesting. He said the older will serve the younger. But he also said one of them is stronger than the other. And guess what? He didn't tell you which one. Now, we know the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4 that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That's a fact. But that he who is greater in us only works in the context of our free will. We're servants now, Paul would say in Romans chapter 6. We're slaves to whomsoever we yield ourselves as slaves to obey. See? Whether, wait, I'm backing up here. I'm looking at Romans chapter 6. We are to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 6:11. And don't let sin reign. Notice who he's telling the action is. You. It's our action. Don't you let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do you not know, I jumped right down to verse 16, that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. You notice that. He's totally telling us, it is up to you, it's up to me, whom we will serve. Joshua said, as far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Again, that's a free exercise of our free will. It's our choice. So, we get to decide whether we live forever or not with God, or we go into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's already said he's not willing any should perish. So this is what's actually going on. The clock is ticking. The sand is going down in the hourglass. I'm taking my own situation, taking heed about the progress bar. I got very little white space left on the end of that because, according to the Bible, I'm running out of time. I told you I don't even want to think about 90 years because I don't see any quality of life in that. Whatever the Lord chooses after that is totally up to him. But when I look at my life, I was immersed, Sue and I was just before my 30th birthday. So when I hit that mark, when I hit my 70 years of life, I will have also had 40 years in Christ. That, biblically, one of them 40 numbers, you know, 12 numbers, 3s, 7s, all them Bible numbers, 40 means a full load, man. It means a long period of time. That would mean that I have had everything that God has, you know, given me, provided, that is sufficient for me to accomplish his will. He's given me the parameters of my existence on the earth. He allowed me my time to be born as a child and be in the innocence of my youth and transition into my stupidity. where he held me accountable for my sins, and I had a good decade in really hosing up my life, so I knew that I didn't know what I was doing. Then he saves me, he washed me, regenerated me, made me whole, gave me his word, and told me now to grow, desiring the pure milk of the word, go to the meat of the word, and those things which I had learned and heard from many others, I was now the same, taking those very things, commit to others who would be able to teach others also, and to go and to seek and save the lost. There will be no excuse for me. You understand? I'm just saying it matter-of-factly. You know, that's just a fact. I will have no excuse. I'm putting pressure on myself now. But really, the pressure's not on me. Because God is greater. And I know that if I will do his will, and I will live faithful unto death, I will receive the same crown of life that the Apostle Paul spoke about when he realized he was out of time. His life, the time of his departure now was at hand. He said, I fought the fight, I kept the faith, I finished the course, now henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. That is our hope, brethren. That should not make us afraid, it should make us rejoice in that fact. But boy, if we don't keep that on our frontlets, if you don't have a progress bar in front of your face, then we're going to get caught up in all this day-to-day grind and all this noise, and that day is going to come up and sneak up on us like a thief. Well, hope you're ready then, man, because no, there's going to be no time to be making any changes if we haven't been actively involved in doing it. I'm talking to myself. I'm just talking about myself, because biblically that's a fact. That's how this works. And so, you know, it's the end of the year. These are my thoughts. That's how I see myself, according to Scripture. And that doesn't mean I get to sit down and take a break. I actually want to finish strong. I do, personally. You know, I like what I've been called to do. I feel, you know, a lot going on, and that's all fine. But that time and that end will come. I just want to be ready for it. So God bless you. Hang in there, and let's encourage one another to make sure we all cross that finish line right on schedule. Thank you for your attention this morning.